Vehicles at the dam, which Honorable Veik wanted to know about. We did the check on the AVL around the issue of the dams. We found in that period, and we're doing 45 cars from the dog school. We don't have from training. They will give us a report in terms of whether they were formally or not. And one car from the flying squad of Peter Maritzburg at Albert's Fall Dam, others at Midmar. We will do further investigation in terms of what they were doing there. Thanks. Then go to the questions. The issue of 33 police stations were completed and not completed, and which department do they fall under? Chair, this is the list of 33 stations out of the 42. The 9 was completed, as we said last week. We got them into the description, the classification, the status, executing department, the total cost per project, projected cost, and then the total expenditure at the 21st of September. There's just one station I want to speak to, is the issue of Giani, which has two phases. We have completed phase one. It was a building service program, and we didn't proceed with the second part because we are not doing buildings anymore. I think that the rest of them speak for themselves, Chair, if we're satisfied with that. Next question is to provide a list of contractors that went bankrupt and did not finish projects. No current contractors appointed by South African Police Service have gone bankrupt. Information has been requested from DPW considering that NDP is over with the procurement and contracting agencies around those buildings which are in Mora, so we're waiting for a response from them. In terms of the investigation by SIU, it was in terms of the Proclamation 42 of 2010 by the President of the Republic, and it's currently investigating all projects executed by SAPS as per our Capital Building Works Program 205 till 2010. They've collected all the documents. They give us general briefings around the issue, but they haven't given us identities of any individuals in terms of the investigation. But they have briefed us that it's going quite well, and we will have successes there. Then we're going to provide a list of all police stations that do not have basic things like toilets, electricity, etc. Chairperson, some of these toilets have facilities, but they've broken down. The pit toilets have become too small. The water functions, water has run dry in terms of the tanks and things like that. And we bought also vehicles with their system. There are 27 electricity and generator sets being put in, 87 which has sewage challenges or new sewage, and 54 where we had to put in water or additional water to ensure they can function. The list is all there. Most of them are done by Public Works, but they've been monitored by our project office, and they're on track as we've been so far. Then the question was to provide an update on costing of police station under construction in the current year, 11-12, and for the next financial year. Chairperson, again, some of them will be a repetition of the one which was in the last list. Again, we have the project name, the asset, whether it's a newly renovated what, who's the executing department, which strat plan was the, where was it in terms of the old strat plan, where is it in terms of the revised strat plan, the total expected projected costs, the total expenditure to date around those projects itself. Chair, then you asked us what was the estimate cost of building a police station. We've broken them down into three. We've taken present stations we're busy with in terms of the costings around that. The total cost in terms of a small police station would be about 18,331,000. Plus that's the one which we have. We took more or less in terms of that figure. And we give the breakdown of the cost. We talk about the medium police station, where we speak about 48,741,000, somewhere around there. And a large police station, which will be 69, 79,272. These are the estimate costs based on the present prices and things in terms of estimate cost itself. Then provide the full status of Rodeplot Dog School. Again, your chair, we have again requested Public Works to give us a report back on this matter. As we were already here last week, we haven't received the report. We will follow up in this week again with Public Works to give us a full report so we can report back to you on the after the new acting DG has been appointed to get the full report from them in terms of how they intend moving forward on this project. What is the role of the BEC and how many committees exist? What is the role of the Budget Commission? At what level is the location of the BEC? Who chairs and the members of the BEC and BAC? And what are the ranks of the chairpersons? I think there's a number of questions, but it's safe to say the first thing is that we first have the Bid Evaluation Committee, which consists primarily out of acquisition people, people from the end user, with the Wispol project, Wispol would send people, and then also experts. If it's related to forensics, we'll use scientists. If it's related to building, we use architects. And so we'll have experts in terms of the evaluation committee itself. And then we have a bid committee, a bid adjudication committee, which is appointed by the National Commission. The list of the people on page 16 from the chairperson, General Fumi. And all the qualifications there, that's the list of all the people in terms of that bid committee. We go then also question 19, who is the accounting officer in terms of the procurement process in the event there were two divisions who are responsible. We say the accountable procurement lies with the accountant of the department, the National Commission of South African Police, who can then delegate it to his necessary delegate. How long does the procurement process really take? Who is accountable and what level and who is ultimately responsible? Chair, we outline a whole long process in terms and different thresholds in terms of the whole process, in terms of quotations, what can go wrong with quotations. We have submitted the department's procurement policy in the CD to you yourself, Madam Chair. It's quite a long, it's more than 5 pages long, so we put it on the CD for yourself. It has been submitted with your package itself. That manual is a user directive in respect of acquisition, and it's a manual that gets revisited on a regular basis as new practice notes and instruction notes are issued by National Treasury. The process to make changes sometimes can be lengthy as legal service must be consulted before the approval by the accounting officer. However, acquisition implements the practice of instructions immediately while the process to change the manual is being done. What are the discipline steps on the incidence of condonement and what are the outcomes? Chairperson, we have an Annex B with the list of all the irregular expenditures on the document. Most of the condonements were either written or verbal warning given by the end user where the contravention took place. And after that, it was then condoned by the BAC. We provide the full condonements of all illegal. Again, the spreadsheet for 23. 24 for each of these, what are the reasons, as we say on the spreadsheet, mainly for verbal and written warnings. We use National Treasury Practice Note 4 of 2008-2009 for regular expenditure to condone in certain circumstances. There are two. The first one is a regular expenditure occurred as a result of institutions not procuring goods and services by means of other than through competitive bids where reasons from deviating from inviting the competitive bids have not been recorded and approved by the accounting officer or accounting authority. We've also attached a practice note which gives us authority to condone. And then the second point in that practice note is two, irregular expenditure incurred as a result of non-compliance with the requirement of the institution's delegation of authority in terms of the PFA. Point one is applicable for irregular expenditure for SEPs, police days, and point two is applicable for the remainder of the irregular expenditures the complete practice is attached, and you can see, as I said, practice number 4 of 0809. What powers or limitations do the investigators have when investigating numbers members of the supply chain? Chair, there's two investigations that take place. One is the departmental investigation, which is a general investigation, where there are disciplinary regulations to empower the chairperson and officers to conduct disciplinary hearings against members who are alleged to have committed misconduct in Section 20 of the same regulations. Section 6 and 15 of the Acting Police Service afford them the powers to charge in post-section arrangement of verbal warnings. This is what we've used against most of the members, especially in Boulder Service, who have occurred use regular expenditures. And then we have criminal investigations, which is a normal criminal process. We outline the process there. And I think maybe General Drummond can give more details on, in terms of that, because we don't do investigations ourselves. It's done by hawks or by detectives. The summary of departmental cases. Cases registered were 22, based out of this. Finalized were 11, and we have 11 pending cases. Case and the investigator not registered is 1. The summary of department cases being reviewed for elementary criminal cases. One case being referred to the hawks, resulting in the investigations of 3 counts of fraud and corruption. I don't know if there's more counts subsequently to that, but we referred the case to them. Then there was a question about 26,000 cell phones. Actually, we received 70,637, because they were from 3 providers, in terms of some communication, MOU they had with all the providers. These phones were issued without SIM card, separate to our contract, which we have with Vodacom, Edward Vodacom, which comes where we get phones with cell phones and contracts itself. The management has taken the decision, which was approved by the National Commission, that we will donate the phones to operational members at a lower level who don't have phones and use pay-as-you-go cards to do them. And after 2 years, the phones will be automatically become, the members will be written off. To do this, we have to apply to Treasury, because Treasury can only give us approval to donate phones to members. And we received on the 20th of September confirmation from Treasury that we can proceed. And by the end of this October, all the phones would be have given to all the province, specifically around detectives and operational members at the junior level. Our supply has been vetted. I think General Skitter also went quite through this thing. But we do use Cipro, and we use Treasury to ensure that none of the suppliers are blacklisted by Treasury. These are all the processes we use around the issue. Then there was a question around the issue of the AG's presentation around the project management office. A PMO was established in terms of the project management body of knowledge principle. To implement, firstly, we started with the SEPS building program, and I think we're getting nice results from introducing that in terms of our expenditure and things. Implement all projects in terms of phases of time, cost utilities, and quality control. Each project as a PEP with proper planning instructions itself, so we can monitor every project in terms of how it's going now. Each project is monitored daily, and all the information now captured on the portal where we have all the information now. We have developed our own portal which we have all the information which we can see on a daily basis. There's a daily meeting with the project officers and the managers of all the projects. We have integrated meetings of all role players 3 times a week. Call all line functions from demand, planning, acquisition, and property management to account for response in terms of each project, because a project goes through a demand process, so we make sure that the demand people come and account how far and what are the time frames in terms of ensuring demand is finalized. Acquisition comes in terms of the time frame to ensure that we get the necessary quotations or go through a bid process, and property management, the implementation of those projects. A colonel, I think when we were last year, sometime we said we're going to appoint people. The colonel has been appointed in charge, a trained and qualified project manager, with 4 project managers at lieutenant colonel level and 6 in support staff. As I say, I think we're starting to get the results from that. It's not yet where we wanted to be. I think we want to expand it to all facets of supply chain, but we started initially at our building program where we have the biggest challenges at the moment. In terms of the 134, why did the accountant choose not to abide by the prescript of PFMA? What steps are taken? All the regular expenses reported to supply chain and investigated. Disciplinary action instituted all responsible members. contract performance are monitored and handled as per general conditions of contract issued by Treasury, as I explained in the presentation the other day. And divisions and provinces have been instructed to rotate suppliers. Just to also add, Chairperson, we've now busy with the process of having what we call a ProQuote, which is a computerized system for issuing quotations on a rotation basis. It will be generated by the computer automatically. We intend from the 1st of April to implement the ProQuote system, which is a computer system, which will, I think, address many of our irregular problems we have at the moment. Is there any reconciliations? I think General Skutter gave quite an expansive explanation on this. We tried to also do it in our document, but he has done that already. Chair, on the issue of forensics, these are the lease buildings which is used by forensics. It comes to about 10,980,850 per annum for those 6 lease buildings we have for them. That's the total sum of the buildings. That's the amount on the right-hand side per annum for every building. Page 22, sorry, Chair. Chair, the issue of the physical address, I think General Baslan did give the right one, which is Silver Boom and Clipper Throat. We made a mistake. We took the present one in the rush over the weekend. I think we drew from the system the address of the present forensic lab. The new one is Cornell Silver Boom Avenue and Clipper Throat Close, Plattekloof, Parow. And there's the address of the Rodeplaat K9 Academy. The revised building program for the period 2011-12-16-17. I think we have submitted it before to you, Chairperson, but again, we've again put it in this document. I think this is the new revised plan which was consulted with all the provinces and approved by the management forum itself. There's a total of 134 police institutions. Just to add, Chairperson, besides these 134 these projects, we also included 30 rural stations in this project, which we are busy finding. We have the 30 sites now we got from the traditional leaders. We are busy with land site clearance at the moment. The intention is to go via IDT to implement that project, because between ourselves and Public Works, IDT is a better option. So we're busy with the process of implementing. We think we'll implement in the next 3 years, we'll implement all 30 stations as addition to this thing from our line budget itself. Chair, that was speedily, as you requested, to go through our presentation on supply chain management. Thank you, Chair. No,
thank you very much. What is the duration for these leased buildings? For how long will we be paying this money?
Chair, there are two processes in terms of lease. First, if you are BE compliant, you get a maximum of 2 years. Not BE compliant, then you get a maximum of 2 years for a lease. If you're BE compliant, you get 10 years for a lease. That is the public works in terms of the present process itself. How we determine whether we need a lease is we do a needs analysis from all divisions, all end users and provinces. We then decide in terms of where we're going in terms of buildings or in terms of leases. The management forum has taken that we will use all our capital money on building stations presently. So we will, while we are trying to reach especially inaccessible areas in rural areas, we will not build any other buildings in our present MTF program itself. So we will continue to lease while we continue to build stations and focus primarily on more rural areas as the plan indicates itself.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I thought I should correct something that I raised last week regarding the Deep Slope Police Station. I actually raised the point that I'd heard that it was being vandalized. And we actually sent our constituency office administrator there this morning to go and check up on the station. And indeed, there is security on site, and it's not being vandalized. So I thought I should just correct comment that I'd made last week, which I'd asked about. But what I want to particularly raise a question on is this, the 30 additional stations in rural areas that you talk about in relation to the IDT. Is it possible that we could be given the cost of those stations? And also, what processes have been followed in awarding that to the IDT? Is it a normal tender process? I'd like to get some more clarity on these particular 30 stations. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, in terms of the police stations and the reprioritization of police stations, I think we need to look at the possibility of suggesting in the BRR as well, but also the department must consider this, that provincial commissioners can't keep on changing, reprioritizing, because I think that's part of the problem that we are facing here. I see you say 30 stations. I would love to know where those 30 rural stations are, because the fact of the matter is, I'm just looking at, I received the SMS from a colleague about the station in Mossel Bay, where it's desperately needed. That has fallen off this list. There's a station in Wellington that has been prioritized. Land was allocated. Arrangement with the city council have been made. It's fallen off. It's no longer there. And somehow I think one needs to say that provincial commissioners must prioritize for a five-year period. And it can only be reviewed after that five-year period changes made. Obviously, you're always going to have the exceptions when there are an urgency, and one can make provision for that as well. But just, that's just a comment, and also in terms of trying to make clear proposals for our BRR report as well. The issue of the CD that the chairperson got with the 500 pages, hopefully with the rest of us we'll also get it, but I think that just underlines the point that we've been making. Why do you need 500 pages for this? Why can't it be shorter? Who's reading it? I mean, if we put you through the test now, you're going to pass it. But, yeah, that's the problem. Second part of the question that has not been answered regarding the cell phones, why are you going out on contract? Why have you asked for more cell phones? What's the need for more cell phones? There's a tender apparently being published for further cell phones. Can we get clarity on that? If it's not so, then fine. Then also related to that question, I'm worried about the time lapse. You received this in July 2010. You only applied for Treasury in May of this year. It's almost a year later. You've applied for permission. This is according to the answer that's there, the first part of it. You only applied for May this year. So the delay is actually with SAPS. From May till September, when Treasury said, yes, go ahead with it, it's far shorter period from the time that you've received these cell phones. So I just think it's unacceptable that we have 76,000, no longer 26,000 cell phones lying somewhere and it's not being utilized. Chairperson, I think that was that on those issues. I just want to check quickly. Can I just say, I went through these stations that you've given us, and I think you've got to agree, General. If you look at there's still a problem with SAPS. If you look at, I'm talking about the figures that you've given us in terms of what was the estimated cost and what is the cost that you project, about talking about the 33. Yes, public works also have problems there, but if we do give it a percentage of problems, at least some of these public works are coming in below the cost or on cost. I think there's one or two where SAPS are actually coming in at cost. The rest you are all over cost, and not by a little bit, by huge amounts, sometimes double. And therefore, I want to support Chairperson that at some point in time we get more information about these this new approach in the rural areas, because we don't want a situation where in a year or two we come back and that's also been a mess.
Thank you very much. Yes. Okay.
Just something last week, during the hearings last week, I raised the issue of the barracks in Weinberg, I think it was, or near Alexandra. Now, I've been just wanting to know, this revised list, when was it revised? But the question I'm really asking is, you know, we went there on our Gauteng visit, and those barracks were in an appalling condition. And what I'd just like to find out is, it's going to come out in our committee report. How does such a situation get addressed? Because this is now the revised plan through until 2016, 2017. So such a situation, how would that be addressed, given what we've actually found when we've actually gone there?
No, thank you very much. You know, I'm actually checking here your capital work project for completion. I'm not very sure whether General Cruiser, you'll know whether beyond radio technical or okay, this would be technical, I don't know what it is, whether it will be rated as being small, medium, large. Beckville Police Station, for instance, if it is a small, medium, or large police station, do you know that? Is it a large police station, a small?
Chairperson, it's a driving skid pan for advanced driving. That was the main expense went to that. It's for advanced driving for VIP drivers, 10111 drivers. So that's what it was.
Okay. You know, the first whatever construction there, DPW expected cost, in fact, projected cost is 12.4 million.
Yeah.
Expenditure, 11 million.
Yeah.
DPW expected 14, expenditure 13. DPW Bloemfontein expected projected cost is 41 million, expenditure 45 million. An escalation of about 4 million. Blue Downs Police Station, SAPS, 30 million. Total expenditure, 40 million. Cost escalation of 10 million. DPW, 72 million. Sakane, and expenditure, 68 million. Chatsworth Police Station, total expected projected cost 133 million. Expenditure 128 million. Gasomeola Police Station, new expected 38 million. Expenditure 47 million. Giyani Police Station SAPS, expected 31 million, expenditure 18 million. DPW, Hammanskraal, expected 39 million, expenditure 78 million. Here's the view, expected 34.9 million. SAPS expenditure 38 million. Kakamas Police Station, DPW 7.7 million, expenditure 9.3 million. Kuruman 15 million, 13 million NTP. Mbuzini 17 million, 16 million NTPW. Pinar SAPS, 24 million, expenditure 50 million. Mount Road Police Station, NDPW, 87 million, 85 million. 19 million Human Wood, 19 million. Ribbeck Street, DPW, 21 million, 20 million. DPW 22 million, 19 million. DPW 50 million, 50 million. DPW 68 million, 51 million. DPW 19 million, 18 million. DPW 95 million, 78 million. DPW 34 million, 24 million. SAPS 7 million, 29 million. SAPS 9 million, 26 million. SAPS 31 million, 21 million. SAPS 11 million, 19 million. DPW 36 million, 36 million. DPW, all of them, 15 million, 13 million, 27 million, 25 million, 40 million, 38 million, 48 million, 46 million, 240 million. Inform SAPS that the approach to the project will have to be revised. I don't know what is this. Whether these have been, I don't know what are the issues here. There was 25 million and nothing reported as expenditure. National Commissioner, we had a meeting on this matter. That was last year. In that meeting, we agreed, I think it is minuted, and I want to believe that it is in our BRRR report as well, that the SAPS must go and discuss a workable model on the building of police stations, come back and table it or present it to the portfolio committee to say, this is the model we think is going to work for SAPS. That was last year. I think we repeated it during our annual report processing last year. We said nothing during our budget vote hearings, in fact, budget hearings. We are here today. Now, we do believe that SAPS must have had more than enough time to consider this matter. And probably we can now hear from the department as to what do they really think is the strategy, because National Commissioner, let us agree, all of us, that if we were to calculate the money that is spent here and escalations and so on, inflation, I mean, inflated cost and so on, we're wasting a lot of money. Now, what is the strategy that the department has come up with to say this is what we think we're going to do going forward so that we can deliver on our mandate and what we have said in the strat plan we want to deliver in as far as the building of police stations are concerned? This is actually saying to us, SAPS is not managing. We have said in the meeting, I think even last week, that even DPW is not the answer. SAPS is not the answer. What then is the answer? And we really said, SAPS, the ball is in your court. Come back and tell the portfolio committee that this is that, even if it is a pilot project. Now, I think we need to get that feedback from the department, maybe today. I think that is my question so far.
The chair will be coming specific on that, because that meeting starting to talk about it, the one that we chased away and then we had another one. The principal kind of approach was that Public Works is not an answer, SAPS is not an answer, get the Milky Way if you need be. I'm sure that's what he's going to come on. But Madam Chair, we believe, I'm going back to Honourable Member Van Wyk, we believe that one thing that is going to help us as South African police is a census that is being done. I believe I'm going to your 5 years that the outcome of the census might still move some of the police stations as priorities, just to see how communities have moved. And our strategic planning and the OD will be working immediately on that to see, do we follow the patterns as a South African, or we I can assure you some of the police stations are built where requested. So you'll have a pressure as you go, and you say, yeah, no, I'll speak to them. And there are police stations that are built because they are requested. But you go to the essence, to the essentials of the matters, really is not in there. So that's one area that I'm sure a committee will bear with us, so that we don't tie up even the next 10 people, as the member said, that 5 years and no more, no less, to say, let's be flexible until we come with these priorities via the new census. Where do we go? There are communities that are completely shifting where you could have put the police station. You know, Deep Slot, they've got a big police station. If maybe that was a 4 mile township, you have needed a much smaller station than that one that you see. But because it's this Deep Slot, Madam Chair, I don't know if you have ever been there in the township. As you enter the Deep Slot, you feel yourself ask question, am I going to come out here? As you walk in the middle of this road. So that tells you that please build a big station here. And I'm sure if this road would be a township, it would be very small as a town, as a formal township. So there are all those things. So when is Deep Slot? And I'm very sure the time Deep Slot becomes a proper structure of township, that will be a big station for that area. So there are those kind of things. But let's see what did we think is between the two, as suggested. Madam Chair, I don't know why you chose as your question the least buildings of only science and laboratories, not the rest. Maybe you'll ask the question about the rest of the South African police lease buildings. But last time I was brief, there were 1,317 across 1,365 now. So maybe because we'll have to come back and discuss about those things some other time, Madam Chair. Maybe even the ownership of those buildings. Talk about the ownerships of those buildings. Who owns them and all that kind of stuff. So because I believe that's a lot, 1,365, and where does it go with the stability that Gary was talking about of 10 years, that kind of a thing. If you are BEE compliant, what does it mean to be BEE compliant? There are many companies, I'm told, that they're BEE compliant. They've got Pele as a face that does not even know that it's got shares in that company, but he signs only. So those are the things that I think one time I'll have to, but let's find our Milky Way, Madam Chair. I don't know if we have come back to present or this will be part of it, but I think we have worked to something like the Milky Road.
Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, I think, I mean, it's not the first time the Commissioner has mentioned this issue, and I think we need to follow up on it. But at the same time, I want to say, if SAP's got the information that that's the case, it's criminal to do so. Start acting against that. I mean, fronting is against the law, because that's what you're basically saying. It's fronting. It's fronting. It's against the law. You are the people who are supposed to be making sure that the rest of South Africa are implementing legislation. So what I'm saying is, let's also, when we get to that point, also tell us what you are doing to address those issues, where there are these things. Because if it's happening, it needs to be acted against. That is the bottom line.
I think, in fact, we can even check with what is this, CIPRO, is it CIPRO? Yes, we can actually start checking. Because I fully agree, National Commissioner, with you to say we need to discuss the issue of leases, all of them, the 1,300 here. We need to discuss those. How much are you paying? Because when we were, is it Honeyju? Where SAPS is paying 200,000 per month. And that 200,000 is excluding the money that you paid for the prefabs that you've put there. So as you put prefabs, you are paying for prefabs because it is in that private land. And you are maintaining. So you're paying money for maintenance, you are paying money for prefabs, you are paying 200,000 per month, and therefore 2.4 million per year. But it's more than that. One police station. Who is the owner of that land for how long? We don't know. And I think it's something that we'd definitely be interested to know. So that we really know as to how much you're paying to these leases and who are the people that are there. Can you actually check as to whether, if you're saying they are BEE compliant, it is exactly that? Because I think it's possible to check. Even before you take legal action, it's possible to check. Yes. So that when we come here, we discuss the matter. I fully agree. I think it's a matter that needs to be discussed. Even this one, the leases for the forensic services, for me, I think this is a lot of money paid every month. I think it's a lot of money. Who are the owners of these buildings? We don't know. Are they BEE compliant? What do we mean by BEE compliant? Can we verify that? Is it possible? So that we are able to clean these things once and for all and take decisions going forward to say how we're going to go forward. And we're discussing this matter today, National Commissioner. It therefore means we'll discuss it again in future because there are these issues that are coming up in this discussion today. But I know Mayflower is at least. Let's continue. Who else? I mean, there are other questions. Okay, can you respond quickly so that we move on to...
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'll start with the last question. Firstly, I want to say in terms of this 33, the budgets by the time last year for this last financial year we were in budget, the budgets have been over since 2004, all these projects. That's why they're so big. So they've been like this ages ago already. But we've taken two decisions. Firstly, we said we're not going to build any as building services. We took in that policy decisions. After we came in last time, we have not building. We just completed these projects that were outstanding. That's what we did. We haven't proceeded. There's two processes we've taken to go forward. The one is through IDT, which we're busy with Treasury and Public Works in terms of finalizing the MOU. The legal services have gone through that, and we haven't finalized, but we're working together with Treasury to make sure we comply in terms of that process. The power to do that MOU is with the accounting officer, but Treasury is involved with us and General Skitt itself to finalize that process. We want to implement that with the rural stations and some alternative building methods to see how we can work it.
I just want to
Building services have stopped building. From the last time we came in, the time we have stopped doing any building ourselves. We only do R&R renovations at places and those sort of things. That's what we do with our prison staff. They go and fix roofs and fix whatever's broken, put out new fences around the buildings and do all those sort of things. So our artisans, the little we have, are doing R&R at devolved stations where we have the responsibility to ensure that the standards are kept. So there are two. The one is the issue of IDT in terms of alternative building methods, which we're almost in the final stage. We hope by April next year to go out and tender with them once we finalize the MOU in terms of that through Treasury itself.
IDT, tell us, what is that?
It's an independent trust. They build for most departments. They project manage the building from start to end with contractors which they got on tender. So they do it on behalf of you. They do most of public works, health department, education, schools. We went to look at some of the schools in the rural areas they built. They're quite experienced and they're very fast. So we looked at their projects and we were very impressed with the time frames they used in terms of education and health and justice. And we thought we'll use them in terms of one of the models which we want to go forward on in terms of that process.
I wish you could. It's unfortunate that you're telling us about this time of the night, and I think we are a little bit exhausted now, because we really are interested to know exactly what you're talking about, to get information on what you are saying. No, we want to know. Because what you are actually saying to us is that you now have moved. You now have another model, and for us that is very important. And I think it is important for the portfolio committee to understand exactly what you are saying in that regard. And like I'm saying, I'm married. It is this time of the day. I'm not very sure whether we can absorb this important information. Very important. I mean, when you're talking about construction, anything related to that is very important because it goes with a lot of money. And I'm worried, really.
Because now, one of the issues, I just want clarity. The issue of the basic facilities, which you said you even gave the time frames, is it also going to be done by an IDT or done by you?
Basic services are divided into two. The devolved stations are done by us, because we may only work on stations which is devolved to us in terms of the MOU with the Public Works. Non-devolved stations are done by Public Works through contracts with Public Works itself. So as the devolved stations, we take ownership and repair. So at all the devolved 271, we try to do the work and get our contracts ourselves. So that will still be done by SEPS and by Public Works in terms of that process. We're talking about new, what we call Greenland, new building sites, in terms of this process where we don't want to be on new building sites itself. We want to use IDT as a provider for that, agency to do that.
General Cruz, we will want to get details on this information so that we can move together with the department as you implement this new model. I just want, you are here now, and definitely there isn't any flight now that you're going to catch back to Johannesburg. Maybe before you leave, you start here tomorrow morning, you make a presentation just on that aspect so that we can have some information from yourself. Tomorrow morning, yes. We're meeting tomorrow anyway.
Yeah.
So we start with yourself making a presentation on this one aspect. Or else, if you think that it will be too much, we'll call you next time around, and it will be in the evening.
Next time around, evening is fine. This weekend we haven't slept. We slept 2-3 hours every night preparing these things. Yeah, we are really exhausted. Last night we slept 2 hours finalizing these documents.
You know, you're better off because you're sleeping two nights. We're sleeping. I leave office at 1 o'clock. I leave Parliament at 1 almost every day. Because we still have got to read. I mean, we can't come to meetings having not prepared for meeting. However, National Commissioner, what we are saying is we need this information because we are actually introducing something new. It cannot come as a response to a question. That's the thing. And we need to know exactly as to what is involved there. We must have time to ask questions. And that is it. I was thinking that it's possible that you can come tomorrow, start with you all late tomorrow, and with you after the presentation. But if you're saying you want to go back to Johannesburg and fly back to Cape Town next time around, but we definitely need a presentation on this one. I think so.
We'll try for the afternoon. We'll try to get information together for the afternoon. I think it's
tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll try.
So something after 2-ish lap. Okay. Okay.
Chair, there are two models we're using. That's the one model. The other model is where we go out and tend ourselves, and we have tomorrow. Okay, we present both models. Okay. Other question?
Madam Chair, I'm absolutely not on your way on this one. It's a principal decision that committee agreed that we go medley. I think it's a medley. There's been a presentation from going to IDT working on that. If they're going to prepare the more new information, as South African Police Management would like to hear before it comes to the portfolio committee. I don't think it's wrong to come and report to the portfolio committee. The portion that was presenting is what we know. So if it's going to add, because we, as a management, we might change after it's presented here. So I would argue that it cannot move straight from them to portfolio committee without this management knowing. Maybe this coming one night, the quick can help after they have presented to the management.
I understand where the commissioner is coming from, but can I ask a question? Is there not a presentation that you at some point in time made to management on this issue? Surely this was a decision that was taken. I see there's some immediately uncomfortableness again.
If I listen carefully to what the general is saying, he's saying, I think he's going along what the chairperson is saying, that the new thing that has been said by General Cruiser hasn't gone through the management. I think that's what he's saying. Therefore, what he's going to present tomorrow, let's say tomorrow, it can't come here without going through them first. In other words, they will speak in tandem. In other words, somebody else will say something else and they say, no, but that's not the truth. They will debate the issues themselves, and then they will open a can of worms. That is why I'm trying to block Mr. Nvik, because I think I understand why he's saying that. Because you recall that sometimes we chase them back because of the document that was presented to us without going through their management first. If I'm wrong, I need to be corrected.
My view is that the principle that they are presenting, say the ITT issue and all, is our baby, all of us as management. But Gary says, we'll put new information tomorrow to be presented afternoon. Is that new information that I say cannot come directly from them to the portfolio committee without coming to the management? When it comes here, it should be our baby as the management rather than the supply chain management baby.
Unless my understanding is not correct, I thought what General Cruz was saying, when we read that document, when he said... I'm just going to make an example of the basic facilities. He said this is what is going to be done, and this is how it's going to be done in this period. But now he added a new dimension, because when he said that, I thought it's going to be done by one group, either police. Now he says, no, it's going to be divided. Some parts are going to be done by police, some are going to be done by public works, some are going to be done by IDC. IDT. I thought these are the details now, because that's new. We're not asking something new. I'm assuming what he's saying, they discussed it. Now he's coming with some dimension which we need details of, that because we want to understand, because we don't want a year later we are told again that there are police stations which do not have basic facilities because either public works or this IDT or whoever. That is why to us it's important to know. He has given us now the information about how many police stations do not have basic facilities. He has given the answer how that's going to be addressed, but now he has added this element now where that says some will be done by him, some of the public works. This is the details. How many of these number which he has given are going to be done by public works? How many are going to be done by SAPS? How many are going to be done by this new approach of them? I thought that is what you want, not anything new.
National Commissioner, let me say maybe you need time as the department to go and finalize this matter. Because when you appear before the portfolio committee, we will definitely want to know, because in front of us we have a strat plan, and I understand there is a reviewed strat plan. Whatever that you're going to say, we'll want it to speak to the strat plan. We want it. So if you're saying IDT, we'll want you to tell us as to which police stations, according to your reviewed strat plan, will be built by IDT, which ones by yourself, if they're still DPW, which ones, and so on and so forth. So we will definitely want detailed information. And we will want that to go together going forward, even with budget. When you come for budget, we'll want that to be related to budget and so on and so forth. So if you've not discussed those details, however you now have agreed on a principled decision, the portfolio committee will appreciate the fact that you are indicating that today. However, we need more information on the matter. And that is why let's not invite you tomorrow. We definitely will have to find time and then invite you. Whether the supply chain management comes, but the supply chain management will have to come after the management has discussed this matter and agreed on the way forward. Otherwise we might be discussing principles that have not been tied up and there's no decision taken so far. National Commissioner, we definitely are going to invite the department. We therefore are going to call you back. We'll check, look at the time where maybe you'll be coming to Parliament, and we'll combine that with a day where you will be coming to Parliament to present whatever. I'm not sure what our program is to deal with this matter, because we'll definitely want to know details. There's a lot of money that goes into buildings. There's a lot of issues that go with that, and therefore we'll want to know. The other issue, National Commissioner, indeed in this document, you're already referring to a reviewed strat plan. I'm not sure whether you've tabled it here in Parliament, because we don't have it as the portfolio committee. So I don't know where that document is right now, because already the details of the document are now appearing here, and it may not be necessary for you to transcribe that which is in your strat plan. But it has not reached us. I was actually checking with the secretary if maybe it is. So we have not received it.
Well, it hasn't, because it should reach you after the president and the treasurer. That way it is before it reaches the portfolio committee. It hasn't. I agree with you on that.
So,
is it draft?
So what is here is a draft.
Yes, Madam
Chair. Human resource or
national? Chair, just on the issue of this presentation to us on the new way of doing building, IDT, etc., the request I wanted to make is that it needs to be this year, because General Cruiser actually indicated that they're finalising an MOU and going out to tender in February or something like that next year. If I understood correctly, April. But still, I think it needs to be this year, because by the time we come back to Parliament next year, we're busy with the budget and we only get down to real business in March. So that will be my humble request, that we need to try and make time this year.
That is true. It has got to be early for that matter. It has got to be very early. However, I think we are agreeing that we need more information. We need more information on this subject, National Commission.
Madam Chair, 26, 27, 28 is a management forum. They'll be ready to present to the management forum next week, 26, 27, 28. So that will be management document that might come to you. So next week will be ready.
So after that we can invite you? After the 28th?
Yes.
Thank you then.
If you say you mean personal or you mean the department?
We mean whoever you're going to send.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Human resources?
Madam Chair, another tender on cell phones? No, there isn't. There isn't another tender on cell phones as well, so no. We have a contract with Vodacom, that's the only one we have. The cost of the 33 will make it part of the presentations. The issue of, what was the other thing? Cost of sites will bring that into that presentation too. The issue of barracks, we are in discussions with the renovation of barracks is Public Works. We're in discussion with them. They have started with some barracks in Gauteng already. They work. Yeah, under plan maintenance, so they're busy. We're discussing to have a faster program to renovate all our barracks at this present stage, because they fall under Public Works at this stage. I think those are the outstanding questions.
Very much a general question. You know, people are complaining that the whole procurement process is taking ages. I'm saying it again, as I said it, as I was asking the question, probably without expecting any answer. They are complaining that the whole procurement process is taking ages and there's a problem somewhere. I'm raising that so that you can look into it. Frustrating people, whether these things are sitting on your table or somebody else's table, I don't know, but things sit on some tables, not signed, people wait for things that they've procured, and so on and so forth. The answers that I hear explaining whatever, I do not believe that they're actually addressing the problems on the ground. That is a problem, that is a complaint that we are receiving. And we're receiving it from people who are very emotional about it, to say they order things or they motivate, they don't come, they take ages, they get, I don't know, they get quotations, whatever, they expire and so on and so forth. And I want to believe that is a matter that you need to look into. Or to address people that are responsible for those things.
Well, yes, Chairperson. But it's going to be worse, Chairperson. With the new treasury, instructions, it's going to be worse. If this was bad, it's going to be worse with the new treasury instruction, Madam Chair. Because you'll be adding a lot of time in between with your stages going for treasurer to approve or disapprove. So there'll be huge time for that. So it's going to be worse, Madam Chair.
Let's move on. Human resources.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I don't know if I should introduce myself, but I did last time. Oh, okay, thanks. Chair, we will start on page 26. In March, when we're here, but I will introduce myself nonetheless. I'm General Mazibugo, Divisional Commissioner of Personnel Management.
You're wearing uniform, and today you're
different. Okay. As I was saying, Honourable Chair, the HR report begins on page 26 with question number 35. Which seeks a list of positions that were advertised and later the adverts withdrawn, but people were employed in those positions. And also to indicate their ranks I think the complete question also sought to obtain the prescripts on which that is based. So our response is that 35.1, which states the South African Police Service Employment Regulations 2008 provides in regulation 45.8, 45.9, and 45.10 as follows, that the National Commissioner may promote an employee to a vacant post in a fixed establishment of the service if such a vacancy is sufficiently funded and if the vacancy has been advertised and the candidate selected in accordance with the regulations 43, 44 and sub-regulations 1 to 7. Notwithstanding the provisions of sub-regulation 8B, the National Commissioner may promote an employee to a post without advertising the post and without following the selection process if the National Commissioner is satisfied that the employee qualifies in all respects for the post, or there are exceptional circumstances that warrant the deviation from the said sub-regulation, and such deviation is in the interest of service. And B, that the National Commissioner has recorded the reasons for deviation in writing. And that a promotion may not come into effect before the first day of the month following the day on which the National Commissioner approved it. So in terms of this provision and in direct response to the question, there were a number of promotions that or filling of vacancies that took place in terms of this regulation. In terms of 45.9, there were four, two of which occurred at the level of a lieutenant general and two more at the level of major general. And the 16 were filled laterally, four at the level of a lieutenant general and four more at the level of a major general, as well as eight at the level of brigadier, for that total of 16. So all in all, there were 20 appointments. I'm not sure if I should go through the list, Madam Chair, as it is a listed of all those appointments I've referred to in 35.2.
There's a point which I thought is read. It means they are under this section 49. But 3 says there are exceptional circumstances. But in your motivation, where do you know where these are exceptional circumstances? Because this is a long list.
It's not all exceptional cases in all posts. Where, for example, there is an annotation, it indicates those written reasons that the National Commissioner had to record when he made that decision.
The list is very long. Can we sum that list? Thanks.
Chair, I want to make a suggestion because I don't think it would be correct that we just skip things here. I don't think we should skip information. But the problem is, it's now 9 o'clock, and either we must stay here and finish this tonight, and I'm not sure we're going to do it properly. We've been here since 9 o'clock this morning. I want to make a suggestion, if it's possible, if it's agreeable, Can we not deal with this particular section first thing tomorrow morning? That's the choice, really, but I wouldn't agree that we must skip stuff and leave stuff. We must deal with this properly. But I'm not sure whether we're going to have the time now, unless we agree that we sit here till as late as we need to go. But I would strongly want to suggest and motivate that we deal with this section first thing tomorrow morning. Yeah.
No, the principle of dealing with it tomorrow morning is okay, but I'm not sure, because you are dealing mostly with scientists tomorrow, and most people that are not scientists would have really withdrawn tomorrow morning. But maybe let's see what time that will be, and deal with it on a fresher way. That's okay. Maybe let's get to such a time, Madam Chair.
Yeah, you know, our meeting starts at 9. Mm-hmm. We're starting at, we can actually start, we want to start at 9. We will start at 9, and if we're agreeing on this one, it will be this one. And National Commissioner, if that is the agreement, let's agree that we'll meet tomorrow morning. Yes. At 9 o'clock, and first thing it will be this one. Seat. Tomorrow we did, the meeting is about CETA, but we can start here, then we allow you to leave after that. One and two, 9 o'clock, yes, tomorrow morning.
Responding to the concern of the Commissioner, only those people who are relevant to this need to stay behind. So, General standard, only those people that are relevant to the outstanding questions.
Well, we do that, National Commissioner. I want to really give you the issues affecting service delivery. It talks to the issue that we'll be discussing tomorrow, and it's not signed. It came to myself, and it talks to appointments made here now in the Western Cape. Yes. And it talks to some of the issues, so I would want to give it to you so that you probably can find time to go through it. Thank you very much, and it's been quite a long day. We will meet tomorrow morning at 9, and the meeting is adjourned. Gracias.